You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark.
ABC News
CD Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Mexican national who police say killed five neighbors in Texas has been arrested.
After four nights on the run, Francisco Oropeza, now caught, found hiding under laundry in the closet of a home in the town of Cut and Shoot, Texas. Oropeza facing five counts of murder. Sheriff Greg Capers with a message to the families of the victims.
But they can rest easy now because he is behind bars and he will live out his life behind bars.
It was a tip into the FBI tip line that led federal agents and police to the home where they found Oropeza. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Donald Trump will likely not attend one or both of the first two Republican primary debates. According to multiple sources who have spoken to the former president, the RNC is still moving forward as planned with the first debate in Milwaukee in August. In Michigan, Flint Community Schools now banning all backpacks from school buildings due to growing safety concerns of weapons. This is ABC News. The list is out. Broadway's best and brightest were honored with the 2023 Tony Award nominations, and a legend on the stage has earned a record 10th nomination.
And Juliet offers an alternative to Shakespeare's traditional tale.
What if Juliet didn't kill herself?
Shucked is set in rural America. Among the plays, one I especially enjoyed, a revival of Death of a Salesman, earned a Tony nod for Wendell Pierce.
You can't eat the orange and throw the peel away. A man is not a piece of fruit.
Today's announcement brought more good news for Audra McDonald, a performer who has already won more competitive Tony Awards than anyone else.
ABC's Sandy Kenyon. New York State is vowing to go green. Natural gas stoves and furnaces will be banned in all new buildings in an effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The state mandate only applies to upcoming new construction, not existing buildings. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW program. Programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football, fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. A days-long manhunt is over. The Mexican national who police say killed...
Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
You need some whoop 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 boing. You know?
Absolutely.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And you may or may not be aware that May is National Foster Care Month. And so it is a month meant to honor the foster parents, families, and all the dedicated people who support children through their journey to find compassionate, stable homes. And our guest for this segment represents the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families, which they provide resources and support through every stage of a family's foster care, kinship, or adoption experience. And Oriana Carey is the chief executive officer of the coalition, and she's here in person. It's great to see you. We actually did this about a year ago when I was over at CW.
Yes. Well, it's great to see you again, Kristen. Thank you so much for having us here today. Yes.
Well, I told you, it's funny because it was top of mind because I've been seeing you guys have been popping up in different ads as far as talking about foster care, talking about fostering, talking about the beauty of it and the like how impactful it can be. And I think we even talked about this last year when we first spoke was it's always been in the back of my mind to eventually foster in one way or another. And I don't know if I'm there yet, but that's why I have a soft spot for organizations like yours. Also Kids Matter, which we're talking to them on Friday. And so I guess for people who are unfamiliar with the coalition, beyond what I just kind of the blurb I just said, how do you explain what the coalition does?
Yeah, so you did a really good job of doing that blurb, Kristen. So we're a statewide organization, and I think sometime because we have some offices down here in southeastern Wisconsin, not everybody is aware that we support families in all 72 counties. You know, and at the crux of it is that we believe every child deserves to grow up in a strong and resilient family. And when it is not possible for them to be with their family of birth, whether it's a short period of time or longer period of time, you know, that's when people foster, relatives provide kinship, or in some situation, people make a birth mom may make a plan for adoption, a child may need an adoptive resource. There are many pieces to all of that. So because we have that belief that children and youth deserve strong and resilient families, we have the opposite belief, you know, the kind of parallel belief of that all families deserve support, need good information. You know, it's that old metaphor, you know, or that old story of put the oxygen mask on yourself first. And so the coalition is really there to be that oxygen mask for families so that they can be strong and resilient.
And so for people who are unfamiliar, there is, those are three distinct things. There's adoption, there's fostering, and there's kinship. And so what defines each one of those?
Well, a lot of it has to do with legal pieces. But, you know, so May is National Foster Care Month. Foster care is considered and is intended to be in a temporary arrangement where a licensed family helps another family who, for whatever reason, you know, cannot safely care for the children in their home. Kinship is when we can be legal or can be more of an informal process. So it's really about grandparents, aunts and uncles, sometimes family friends caring again for somebody either for a short time or, you know, it could be a little bit more extended time while families get what they need to get back on their feet. And adoption is the permanent legal process. So, you know, the two differences in foster care and adoption is foster care is intended to be temporary. Adoption is about a legal permanent process, meaning now this family in legal terms are the parents of this child.
And so, because I think sometimes people don't always know that, that the point of fostering, if you choose to become a foster parent, is reunification. And it is to obviously do what's best for the child, but also potentially work with the birth parents.
Yes, absolutely.
As much as you can, and working with them, being able to see their kids if necessary and all of that. And do you think that there's foster parents who sometimes that's a surprise to them when they first sign up?
I hope not anymore, but I think that is still, you know, because we try, all of us try to do a really good job of that work up front. What I think is more a surprise, and you'll hear the families who do this extremely well, is that understanding that this is just a person who has come across some really difficult situations. So that's not like these evil, nasty stories. You know, so much that makes the press from time to time are the extremes and not what is happening typically. You know, they find out that this is somebody who, you know, didn't have as many family supports as I may have had. You know, I always say that if something happened to me or I fell into a situation where I was making some choices that might not be safe, you know, that I would have my sister and I would have other people around me. Well, sometimes there are people out there that just don't have all those people around and surrounding them. And so I would say many foster parents find that, wow, if we both work together, if it's really about, again, a child, a youth being in a strength and resiliency and being able to grow and become, you know, a productive adult, then we all need to work together. And, you know, kids don't see one side or the other, you know, and they do a lot better when everybody's working together.
Absolutely. We're talking to Oriana Carey, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families, which provides resources and support for foster parents and kinship families and adoption experiences. And so I guess what, across the state, what is the process to become a foster parent?
So you either contact a county agency, you know, there are licensing staff in all 72 of our counties that you can talk to and find out what their process. There are private agencies that license foster parents in the state of Wisconsin, and also our tribal agencies within the state of Wisconsin also license foster parents or and help relative caregivers. But people can contact us at 414-475-1246. Or I always say, go to fosterparentsrock.org. Right now is one of our websites. And we have information right on the website. And we also have people that you can talk to about the process and ask questions. In fact, with technology now, Kristen, we even have a process where people can schedule these appointments with our team, you know, using
Calendly.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we have found that, you know, that way our team is, you know, knows a little bit more about you and vice versa. And that's been really nice because then you have situations where, you know, two people can be on the call or in the conversation at the same time. But yeah.
Sometimes AI and technology is useful.
Right.
Sometimes it's scary, but sometimes it's useful.
Yes.
And then sometimes it breaks and it's annoying. Right, Jane?
Yes. That happens too.
But I mean, yeah, it's, you know, you have to be 21 years of age.
Okay.
There are square footage requirements. You're going to have a home study, which means people are going to ask a whole lot of things about you and find out about your background. You're going to have to be subject to criminal background checks. You're going to have to take some training and a whole lot of other things. And sometimes people get really frustrated about the training aspect. You know, I raised my children, or I know how to do this. And as a parent of a 19-year-old and a 25-year-old myself, I would say just because I wasn't required to take training doesn't mean I shouldn't have had it, right? And, you know, the other side of it is that, you know, kids who've been impacted by our systems of care, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of other nuances, and we want to make sure that people are fully aware and can keep, you know, building those skills and know where to find help and get resources.
Because how much of it is, it's interesting that you say that, because in the segment before you came on, in the end of the last hour, we were talking about understanding and what people's reactions are when they don't understand something. Mm-hmm. And so how much of that training is empathy and having empathy of the background and the situation that the kid that could be living in your home has gone through, and instead of coming at it with judgment?
Yeah. Well, so I think we're constantly coming, you know, constantly working on the evolution of that training. You know, sometimes it comes after people have been doing some fostering for a while and they talk to other family or they find a new training. I mean, we do try to, the system and the upfront trainings that are required goes into it. But, you know, it's just like anything. Again, I say, you know, you told me some of those classes and baby classes and that in the beginning, and people told you, you know, like I remember being pregnant and people saying, you know, oh, this and this is going to happen. Well, you don't, until you're experiencing it, it's really, really hard. And that's why we're there for people throughout the journey, because call us, the sooner you call, the sooner you ask for help in this line of work, we can connect you with somebody that's more experienced, you know, and kind of talk through that. But it is about compassion and understanding. It is very much about flexibility and understanding people and understanding why people do things, you know.
I want to catch you off because we're going to go to commercial. But when we come back, I'd love to talk about myths and misconceptions and also what the need looks like in Wisconsin right now. We're talking to Oriana Carey, who is the Chief Executive Officer at the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You won't go wrong.
The four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. Peace.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't going to find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't going to find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
Hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Oriana Carey, who is the CEO of the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families, and talking about foster care and kinship and adoption in Wisconsin. And I guess sometimes I think people's only interaction with the foster care is what they see on TV and the movies. Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the bigger misconceptions you feel like people have about the foster care system or foster kids or foster parents or birth parents of foster kids?
Yeah, well, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the first and foremost is that, you know, the, you know, children's parents are these evil people who woke up one morning and just decided to do bad things. And, you know, that is really not the case. Many times we're talking about generational trauma, generational poverty, and a whole lot of things that are stacked against people. So I think that's one of the myths and one of the things that we're continually trying to work through of, you know, at the Coalition, we talk about people being a champion. And if you look at a champion in the dictionary compared to looking at a hero, there's a big difference, you know. And so one of these myths is about, you know, foster parents or people who help being these big heroes. And no, you know, we don't want to talk about those things. We want to talk about somebody who champions for some on behalf of another person. And many of the families we engage with regularly that are successful, they champion not only the kids that are in their home, but the families, these children's families. I think another myth is that the kids are bad. And our kids are not bad. Our kids are individuals who have had bad things happen to them. And our bodies, biological, neurological systems are hardwired to handle stress in different ways. And sometimes big feelings, as many of my staff who are foster adopt moms will say, we can have some big feelings about that. The other big thing is the, I don't want to let them go home, or, you know, I wouldn't want to give them back. And I don't know if that's a myth. It's just a saying. And you know,
why people would not want to do
right.
it. Yeah.
And the reality of the situation is if it's, I mean, I guess if that's really your intention, you know, you might need to look through that a little. But we always say to people, be open to learning a little bit more about that and understanding that your experience could be something so much more than just this, you know, thought you have in your head. You might be able to be a lifelong connector to not only the child, but their family. So when that experience goes well, many of the families that we know across the state of Wisconsin remain in contact with not only with the child, but their family, and they continue to be part of that extended family. Because really, that's often what you know, moms and dads need is somebody else to help and give them a break. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the training part before.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess just to end on, like, what is the need right now? Like, I guess kind of by the numbers across the state, across Southeast Wisconsin, the comparison of kids who need some help right now versus how many people are stepping up as foster parents? Like, is there a gap between those two numbers?
Well, what I always say, Kristen, and this is always like the answer, I know that people are like, can't you just give us a number? but I say we need, so the need is great. Yes. I mean, because we never know on any given day what's going to happen. And especially when you're talking about groups of siblings and the possibility of not only having the trauma of being removed out of your home and everything you know, but being separated from your siblings is, you know, just an awful thought. So we need people so that we can try to keep siblings together in close proximity with each other. But I also say it's so that when a child welfare staff member, social worker is put in a situation where they have to make this really difficult decision, that they have a number of choices that match the needs of that child and family. When we are limited in choices, or we have lots of, you know, with the families we have already have lots of kids, you know, that they're helping and supporting, that puts a big strain on everyone and on the system. So, you know, it's not as easy as a one-on-one number. You know,
no,
and I don't
answer.
I mean, it's just, I always try to say that if you are curious and you're interested, the worst thing you could do is just ask questions, right? It's not a bad, there are so many more hoops before you are signing on the dot, you're going through the big process, you know, come and learn some more and, you know, and find out and bring your patient's pants with you because it's going to take a minute.
Patient's pants. I love that. All right. Well, with the 1 minute we have left, where can people get more information or what resources would you direct them to?
Yeah. So certainly, you know, you can go to wifostercareandadoption.org. That's the main site where we manage the Wisconsin Foster Care and Adoption Resource Center. The phone number, 414-475-1246, and or any of the microsites at fosterparentsrock.org, and you'll get directed to the information
you're
looking for.
And I'll put all of that on the show notes for today's show on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. Oriana, thank you so much for spending time with us. This was lovely.
Oh, thank you for having me again, Kristen.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
Sing tonight, I'll dream while I'm in bed, when silly thoughts go through my head about the bugs and alphabet. When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. A days-long manhunt is over. The Mexican national who police say killed five neighbors in Texas has been arrested.
After four nights on the run, Francisco Oropeza, now caught, found hiding under laundry in the closet of a home in the town of Cut and Shoot, Texas. Oropeza facing five counts of murder, Sheriff Greg Capers with a message to the families of the victims.
But they can rest easy now because he is behind bars and he will live out his life behind bars.
It was a tip into the FBI tip line that led federal agents and police to the home where they found Oropeza. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Donald Trump will likely not attend one or both of the first two Republican primary debates. According to multiple sources who have spoken to the former president, the RNC is still moving forward as planned with the first debate in Milwaukee in August. In Michigan, Flint Community Schools now banning all backpacks from school buildings due to growing safety concerns of weapons. This is ABC News.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come tickets.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Babe, you need all the friends you can get, I'm telling you. Roy's already ruined before it was wrote.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. We are just rolling through today's Tuesday show. So I guess in a radio station, Jane, have you ever worked where in a place that was dog friendly?
The last spot was only for certain people, it seemed.
Oh, someone really? People,
yeah.
There was people who brought their dogs in?
Not regularly, but there is one in particular who, okay, maybe this was only on his last day, who was allowed to bring in his dog, who was very well behaved.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, really, really well behaved.
But overall,
no.
Radio stations not necessary. Like, I'm trying to think about bringing Cliff here, and for the most part, he'd chill. But then every time we had, like, a guest, like Oriana, who was just here, walk in, he'd bark his tail off. And I'd be like, shut up, you little jerk.
Yeah. It's not, barking is not always conducive to broadcast.
No.
No.
I think, and you know, maybe now more than before, because through Zoom and the pandemic, people got more used to being in meetings where cats walked on the keyboard and
children
dogs were in the
in.
Background. Yeah. Your naked partner walked in the background with a towel on, be like, I had a meeting. But still on the radio, I think we expect no barking dogs unless it's a sound effect.
Preferably.
But, you know, for other people who work in hip offices, sometimes now more than ever, I think they are dog friendly. Some co-working spaces, I think, are dog friendly. And so this, you know, advice column question kind of caught my eye. I thought I'd ask you your thoughts. I'd give my thoughts. You at home can give your thoughts. 844-967-2789. As far as, you know, working with dogs, but not at a daycare, like a doggy daycare,
right.
But like having to, you have your coworkers be dogs. So this is the question. This is the setup. I love dogs. I work in a small 8-person office. 2 people bring their dogs. The dogs bark incessantly.
Oh, gosh.
And their owners respond with baby talk. I'm not sure which one is more annoying. I can speak with the office manager, but I'm afraid of seeming awful. I'm only in 18 hours a week and keep convincing myself that I can deal, though it means wearing noise-canceling headphones all the time, and even those don't block out the sound. Once, one of the dogs wound up under my table barking and nearly gave me a heart attack. It's a young office, and I'm the only older one with a kid. I keep imagining how these women would feel if I brought an infant in and they had to listen to a crying baby all day long. Crying in a baby talk all day long.
Right.
This is from Anonymous, New York City, and this is, we're getting this from the New York Times, and writer, very prolific writer, Roxane Gay is giving the answers. So I'll hold off on her answer. But I kind of feel like if you have a barky, yappy dog, you don't bring them to the office.
Or you take turns bringing the dog to the office. I'm assuming that the presence of the other dog might be what's sparking the barking.
Maybe.
You know, so maybe you trade off and you bring Fluffy one day and you bring Spike the next day. But that's not fair to subject your coworkers to your yappy, barky dog all throughout the workday. That's mean.
Well, it's also a little bit like, how if there's 8 people in the office and 2 people are bringing their dogs, one is already submitting anonymous help advice questions to the New York Times. What are the other 5 people doing?
Well, right.
That they're just fine. They can just the barking doesn't bother them, or they don't think it's somewhat unprofessional.
Well, and as the writer said, it might be the owners responding in baby talk that would be even more irritating. Oh, baby, do you need some walkies? Should we go outside? I gotta go outside.
Which I have to say is not my reaction when Cliff barks. My reaction is, shut up, you little jerk, and stop it.
Bring it down a notch.
I baby talk him, but it is more like when he is looking adorable, sleeping on the couch and yawning or stretching or something like that, that I think my knee-jerk baby talk kicks in. That's probably gross to anyone else besides Mike and I, but certainly not when he's barking, especially barking for no reason. That's the thing that I always think is funny with dogs, and there's been some memes about this, of when you have a dog that thinks it's protecting you, and mm-hmm. like when there's danger, either whether it's another dog or another human, and then you yell at him for protecting you. How confusing that must be.
A little counterproductive, I think.
Of them thinking that they're doing their job as being a protective little creature. And it's like, shut up.
Wait, what?
And why am I getting yelled at? I'm trying to help you. But I would say, and I guess, because what she didn't offer as an option, and, you know, she's like, I could talk to the office manager, but she didn't say that she's also just tried to talk to her coworkers. And I feel like that's probably the first step, right? As awkward as it is to be like, hey, the barking.
You got to be careful.
You think so?
Yes.
You would go to the office manager before you tried to have a direct conversation?
Think about how touchy people are when you want to criticize their children. And
are people that
I think people are twitchy if you want to say, really? You're going to let your kid do that? Really? I wouldn't let my child do that. I think people are very defensive. And I think if you criticize someone's furry child, you got to be careful. My dog is perfect. What do you mean? He's perfect.
So you think it's better to come from the, like, you, someone tells the office manager anonymously, and the office manager is, that's their job.
That's their job.
To say, hey, with the dog and the barking.
This is getting out of hand. This is getting out of hand, and it's making for an uncomfortable work environment.
Interesting.
And I always wonder about, what about people who are allergic?
That is also true, as far as what are the guidelines when an office goes from being, you know, the assumption is no dogs, to then who breaks the ice, being like, well, can I bring my dog? And then all of a sudden it's a dog friendly office,
and it's doggy daycare.
And who gets to, at one point, like, what does the threshold become if you have like three or four dogs in an office of 30 people, let's say? And one dog has one bad day of misbehaving, are they banned? Like, doesn't that feel like a headache of like a whole new set of rules for office etiquette just in order to be dog friendly? And listen, I love dogs.
So do I. Huge dog lovers.
But it also feels like, because I've talked about it, I was like, oh, what if I brought Cliff in so he's not home by himself all day? And like, more likely if I just put him in by you,
he'd be
with
okay.
his bed, he'd probably just chill. But every once in a while, someone would probably walk in and he'd have something to say about it. And it feels like I would not ever want to put everyone else, like, make everyone else deal with that. And yet, I don't know. So my instinct would be to have the conversation with the other with your coworker.
I think you're very brave.
I'm also confrontational. I don't like harboring things. I like to get it out there
right.
and actually talk about it.
Air it out.
Versus sit on it and stew. That doesn't always feel good, but I guess the second best thing would be to talk to the office manager, and maybe not even as a tattletale thing. It'd be just being like, can we get some guidelines around
exactly
this?
Yeah. It's not like Betsy and Bilbo, you know, have to go. It's, we need to, like you said, we need to have some rules. We need to have some structure around this because it's disrupting the office. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. What do you think about dogs in the office? What do you do with disruptive dogs in the office?
I also feel like this is a newer age problem.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this was not a thing for my parents. Like, there was, my mom was an occupational therapist. There certainly wasn't dogs at the hospital.
No.
My dad was at Merrill Lynch for a long time. I'm pretty sure there was not dogs walking through the
investment halls. Yeah.
And so it's kind of a, and I've certainly, at the different startups I worked at, we didn't have a lot of dogs, if I'm being honest. There may have been a day where someone brought their dog because of they needed to, but we didn't have like an office dog.
Wasn't a regular thing.
Mm-mm. So I haven't actually had to come up against this as far as just someone's annoying ass little dog.
Well, and don't you think now that more people have come back to the office, and I do realize that this is actually a thing. You know, when people were home for 2 years, their animals got used to them being home. And so there were some major separation anxiety issues when people had to start going back to the office.
That's true.
And that can be a nightmare if your dog has separation anxiety. They can be very destructive at home.
Yeah.
Very, very.
What are you supposed to do with that? What are some of the, did you ever have a dog that was like that?
No, thankfully.
As far as,
I mean,
calming them. I know that there's now doggy treats that have like CBD in them. That's supposed to be soothing.
Well, and certainly Barkley used to have issues with storms.
Oh.
It was terrible. His whole body would shake. It was just awful. He felt so guilty. But a thunder shirt worked for him.
What's a thunder shirt?
It's like a weighted blanket that Velcros around their bodies. Doesn't work for every dog, but it worked for Barks.
It's so interesting because Cliff fine with fireworks, fine with storms, not bothered by, but then like sees out the window anyone walking by, and he doesn't bark immediately, but his ears go up and he's out there. Doorbell, hates the doorbell. hates the doorbell in real life or on TV. But storms and fireworks, he's been fine. That's interesting as far as what, because especially if you have a big dog.
Oh yeah.
I've seen some videos of just tearing up a brand new bed.
The couch is gone.
Yeah.
Or a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Some bigger dogs. It's really something.
All right. Well, do you feel like we've settled that one? Because I have another one.
Sure.
Sure. All right. This one, I am interested to see your opinion on it. So it's called Preaching to the Unconverted. A white man in leadership at our university's library peppers his speech and email with Christian buzzwords like blessings and benedictions, even using them in presentations over Zoom. This seems inappropriate, though it is not proselytizing. Our workplace is very impersonal, and employees are rarely acknowledged for interest or activities that fall outside of work. Is this a power play? Or am I just being petty because it annoys me to no end?
I would have to understand the context.
I feel like I've known some people, had people in my life who, you know, their sign off on their email is religious in one way or another, or just kind of like drop God related things because it's so much a part of their life. And how they think that if it's got, you know, if it's God's will, this will happen. And they say it without, you know, realizing that for someone who doesn't think in religious terms very often, that it's like kind of jarring when you hear someone say that so casually.
Sure.
And so I mean, like she said, it's in Zoom meetings, I'm sure it's in emails, and it's just kind of how this person talks. But it is interesting to be in a leadership position. Like, what is the line for secular versus religious talk in a workplace?
Well, and if that's going to be acceptable by this person in leadership, then an underling who follows the flying spaghetti monster should be able to also throw in,
that's true,
benedictions,
the Church of Satan,
and all his noodly goodness. And so I just think you got to be careful.
Yeah. But I'd imagine if it might be annoying, but it's not crossing a line and you kind of just have to put up with it.
Depends upon company policies. That can be, you got to be careful.
Have you ever had to deal with someone like that?
No.
Heathen.
I'll accept that.
I'm trying to think if I've ever worked with anyone who's done that. There's been some like freelance situations I've seen that in, and it never bothers me. I don't really think twice. I just notice it and move on. But what do you think? Is it a power play? Is it someone who's just, that's how they talk? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We will be back to wrap up today's show right after the break.
You don't even know what I said.
She knew where it was at. She used to keep me so contented.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And this show just really
flew
by.
Sure did.
Tomorrow, Greg Bach will be here for Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesdays. Thursday, we have a big announcement.
We do. This is quite the tease.
Mm-hmm. This is a multi-day tease of Thursday's big announcement that we will first break on As Goes Wisconsin. So you should mark your calendars. If you want to be the first to know, we'll do it in the first hour on Thursday, May 4th. And no, it's not a Star Wars joke. Although it could be a Star Wars joke. We could figure out a way to wrap Star Wars in there, I think.
And I just got an inspiration that now I can't tell you until Thursday.
Okay. But also on Thursday, we are kicking off our first ever... We're not going to say the name yet, and that's also not the surprise. But we did a little bit of a contest or a crowdsourcing to name our new segment we're going to do on Thursdays with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's been on the show multiple times at this point, but yes. She is a gynecologist, an OBGYN. We have mostly talked to her about different abortion things that are happening across the state, across the country. But she is, you know, an expert in women's health, and May is Women's Health Month. And so we're going to do it for more than just May, but certainly kicking off in May, Women's Health Month, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly on Thursdays, talking about the range of what that means when we talk about women's health, osteoporosis, heart disease, weight, mental health, menopause, periods, pregnancy, childbirth. Like, there's so many different things that we can talk about with her. And so she's going to be here every Thursday at 12 to be talking to handling those topics. So if you already have a topic that you would like for us to explore, she has a whole network of other doctors that we'll be inviting to talk to us. But, or if you have questions, you can submit those. And if you're not going to text them, which you always can, 844-967-2789. Or you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
We have Chris on the phone. She is checking in on bringing dogs to the office. And what do you do if they're naughty dogs? Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just checking in. I'm driving along. Thought I'd join the conversation.
We love that.
I'm totally with Kristen on this. You just call it out for what it is. It's going to be worse if you go behind their back and talk to management, because then they're all going to try and figure out who did it. And that's going to be worse. Just have a conversation. Just call it out saying, ladies, the dogs. Or, hey, can we just have a conversation? Do it that way. I'm telling you.
Have you had this experience?
No, but I'm very much a straightforward, in many things, right? All kinds of behaviors need to be called out at an office in any given time. I've had as many as 45 people in an office at any given time, and trust me, better to be forward with it than all of a sudden you go sneak around and tell the management, and then it becomes a memo addressing everybody, and then everybody asks questions. And then they sooner or later figure out who complained anyway. So,
and then you're the bad seed in the office, narc.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah,
Kristen's on my back.
I was usually the lady that had to deal with it. So I was the one getting the complaint and then solving it. And I'm telling you, just have a conversation.
It's like kids on the playground, right? Chris, I guess you just got to let them figure it out for themselves.
Absolutely. Let's act like adults, you know, just deal with it. Call it out.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Drive safely. And I just, because otherwise then you're stewing over like, oh, remember that time that Jane couldn't actually have a conversation with me? She had to go tell the office manager.
She had to go tell. Well, and that's fine. Just again, so the person on the receiving end is going to be open to this criticism instead of saying, well, my fluffy is perfect. Maybe it's you.
But can you deny, when a dog barks, can you not, are they just like selective hearing?
It's not his fault. He's a dog. What's he supposed to do? He's a dog. And my dog is perfect.
And I would be like, well, there's other dogs who bark less. And if this dog barked less, maybe I would be more amenable to him being here. But he's, it is what it is. So figure it out. Don't bring him.
Gonna have to leave him at home.
So this is a little bit of a sidestep, but I just... It's good to know that even the NYPD hasn't necessarily figured this out. So we've covered the story before as far as in Milwaukee, also in Madison, across the country. Kias and Hyundais are easily stolen.
Yes.
And, you know, people are like, how have we not fixed this? There's lawsuits potentially against the companies happening. But even the NYPD, we'll end on this, even the NYPD, a police force with a budget that dwarfs that of some countries' military budgets, is pushing a new solution for your Kia or your Hyundai, a $29 Apple AirTag.
Excuse me?
In response to the rash of thefts stemming from TikTok videos showing how easy these cars are to steal, New York City is giving away 500, this is a city of like 8 million to 12 million people, 500 AirTags to residents in certain areas. The police are hoping that the devices can track down stolen vehicles like they do misplaced keys. Of the 4,500 cars reported stolen in New York so far, 966 were Kias or Hyundais, up from just 147 in all of 2022, according to the force's chief of patrol. This feels like an inadequate solution.
And an unbelievable waste of money. I'm sorry, but a lot of these people who are stealing these cars do them with the goal of destroying them.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to get back? Like, it's the, how do you keep it from getting stolen in the first place? I don't really care. You know, once we find it, what's going to be left?
Exactly.
And this does not seem like it's going to suffice as a solution.
Well, and as you said, 500 of them. Ooh, what is that, a block in New York?
I know. They're like, oh, yeah, this is, we're going to sell this. We solved it. We cracked the case. All right. Well, come back tomorrow. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers or the Chad Holmes Show. But come back tomorrow, 11 to 2. We will be here. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for listening. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark.